This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the well-rested Rockets going to be in Atlanta tomorrow night to start a back-to-back. They take on the Hawks. By the way, I was listening to Charlie on the way in. Not only did he question the superstar-like status of Trae Young, but he said he literally plays no defense to the point where he could take Trae Young off the dribble.
Oh, he's sick. You got to give him a pass.
I don't think he's sick.
He's out of his head.
I think that was food poisoning. I don't think there was anything there that would have altered his
Well,
thinking.
He's delusional.
Yeah. Again, if you missed it yesterday, Russell Westbrook will miss tomorrow night's game after 4 days off for the entire team for rest. But he will play Thursday night on TNT in his first return visit to OKC since the trade. That is going to be must-see TV.
That's going to be fun.
Should
That's going to be a good game.
And believe me, the other factor that I don't think people are thinking enough about is Chris Paul going up against the Rockets again, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think Chris Paul's got the red ass, and the way he's been playing this year, and I was getting into some Twitter conversation with some of the Kool-Aid drinking red rowdies the other night, and they were trying to give all this credit to Oklahoma City. I was like, look, for as much as y'all hated on Chris Paul, not only is he quietly having a hell of a year, but Shai Gilchrist-Alexander and all these young kids that he's got playing good ball and they're 4 or 5 games over 500, that's because of Chris Paul. Because his guidance, because his leadership, because of his on-the-court coaching, all the things that drove James Harden nuts, Chris Paul's have, and I'm not going to do the I told you so card, but I at the start of the year, I felt like he was going to have a big season. And it doesn't have to be by leading the league in scoring, but the fact that he's taken that roster and turned it into a playoff team right now.
Yeah, they're seven.
Pretty impressive.
20-16. They have a winning record.
I mean, you can almost give sole credit to Chris Paul. I mean, they have some good players on that team, but Chris Paul makes a difference. And I wouldn't have been necessarily super surprised about Chris Paul having a good year, outside the fact that, you know, I hate to say it, and I'm not trying to jinx it, outside, you know, barring injury. Mm-hmm. But if he stayed healthy, I knew Chris Paul would be an excellent addition. He's a starter on almost every team, even with his age and his injury-prone history.
But if you think about it, guys, the big knock on him...
man, his skill set looked like it was really deteriorating rapidly.
Rockets fans said he wasn't capable of achieving on a night-in, night-out basis the numbers.
It showed. It showed.
Did it not? I don't know if it was the people or just Barry. No, we've had the conversation on the show that there was a lot of people that believed, like, his skill set had... I mean, he had slumped so much in terms of maybe he was over the hill, but he wasn't capable of achieving on a nightly basis the numbers that made him one of the greatest point guards of all time,
yeah.
Let alone a guy that could be the number two star to James Harden. In fact, a lot of the criticism rolled over to say Harden didn't want to take criticism from a guy that didn't have it anymore, and so he wasn't in the same league to be able to say the same. He wasn't in the same zip code superstar-wise to be able to criticize James. Well, the fact of the matter is that, you know, he went on a big offseason plan, and he changed his diet, went vegan, did all these different things. Fact of the matter is, he didn't forget how to play basketball. And Gilchrist-Alexander, this kid is so talented. Dennis Schroeder's another one who had all the talent in the world. He just couldn't harness it to use it in the right way. Both of them just gushing about what Chris Paul has meant to that team.
Well, I mean, he certainly has them in a good position. But I just don't – I mean, they're not a team that scares you.
The question,
they're not
then,
a threat.
Well, the question becomes, if you're Sam Presti, do you ride the wave – and you try and get this team into the playoffs and then call it a great year and then maybe upset someone in the playoffs or before the trade deadline, do you take some of these key assets that a lot of teams want, like a Steven Adams, like a Danilo Gallinari? You probably hang on to Schroeder, Gilchrist-Alexander, and some of the young talent, but there are veteran teams that would be looking for a veteran player like a Gallinari or a Steven Adams, and you just say, hey, look, we're going to sacrifice making the playoffs this year just to keep adding to all those draft picks that we've traded for and all the things we got out of the Paul trade and the Paul George trade.
Yeah, you know, it's great that I mean, it's a good point because it's great that Chris Paul has led this team to a winning record, has them in the seventh seed in the playoffs, and it looks like they might make the playoffs at the back end of the conference. But that's also a curse because, like you said, you're not going to gain anything from it. You're out of the lottery. And really, this is a team that needs to get younger and better and not win, you know, get bounced in the first round of playoffs. And that's exactly what's going to happen if they face any of these teams that they would be scheduled to face from, you know, 4-1. So I don't think, though, you can go to this team and say, hey, look, you guys have done an amazing job. You far exceeded expectations. The fact that you're 20-16, the fact that you're, you know, have a winning record, but we're just going to blow this up. That's a bad look, and it's going to piss the fans off because the fans are probably energized. The fans probably see this.
They didn't see it coming, for one thing. No. When they traded Paul George and Russell Westbrook, they certainly didn't see this coming. They thought it was going to be a complete rebuild, and they were just going to be tanking. The fact that they are sitting where they're sitting right now in the seventh seed, as you mentioned, in the West, has fans energized. That whole town is energized, and that's the only thing in that town.
Well, I think that's the reason why they're energized, though, more than anything else, because you really look at it. You're really just impressed because you thought they would not be a top eight seed, and now that they are, how energized
are
you?
But to Barry's point, the thing is what's your end game? If your end game is just to say you made the playoffs and you kept it afloat,
then you're the Rockets of the Steve Francis and Tracy McGrady eras where, you made the playoffs every year, but you didn't do anything and you never got draft picks. Exactly. You just kind of stayed stagnant. And that's not going to be what the Thunder want to do.
And I've told you guys, one of the two key guys that could sway who wins the title this year is Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. And there are teams that a Miami, a surprise team like Miami. If you watch Miami play, they are fun to watch. They got a whole lot of young talent. They got a seasoned veteran in Jimmy Butler. And if you could put Chris Paul at the point guard there,
boy,
look the hell out in the East, which is wide open too, because there's not that many teams. And by the way, Nick, just because I want to hear your reaction one more time. Last night, when we talk about the guys that might be on the trading block or not, Steven Adams is a tough dude. And he is a big, strong rock dude. Ask Joel Embiid's finger. Ooh. If you missed it last night, Joel Embiid dislocated his finger on Steven Adams' elbow, I believe. But he went down the court, raised his hand, and one of his digits was like going across the other three.
Yeah. So nasty. I clicked on it not knowing what I was about to see, and it was like a replaying gif, basically, of his finger as he's walking down the sideline, court side.
Pretty gross.
Oh, it was nasty. That is absolutely disgusting.
Joel Embiid was headed north, and his finger was going west.
Yeah.
Like it was
you know how you count on like a dartboard, and you put 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you go, the fifth one goes across? His finger was going across the other one.
Yeah, that was pretty
It was pretty nasty. Then they popped it into place, and then he hit it again. But they ended up, and it was a close game with Oklahoma City. They had a four-game losing streak. They finally held on to win. Embiid is now questionable for the Boston game because they did put it back in place. But it's going to be so sore today.
Oh, man.
But they needed that win because they were slumping. And like I said, aside from Milwaukee and Philly and Miami, look, you could be a top four seed in the East. And you do some things, and if Chris Paul is the difference maker there, you could at least get to possibly a finals. So it's going to be fun to watch on Thursday night to see Chris Paul against the Rockets. I want to see if he and Harden talk it all. Shake hands, embrace.
Will.
I don't know, man.
Really?
Yeah, Chris is one of those
guys. Think it's that bad, huh?
Yeah, Chris was really happy to get here, and I don't think he was very happy on the way out. So, and there's only one guy to blame. So it'll be real interesting because I think the rest of his teammates, or most of his teammates, are going to be real happy to see
him. Didn't he send some custom sneaks to PJ Tucker? And
PJ Tucker. Yeah,
and Tony.
Yeah.
The equipment manager for the
Rockets. I didn't know Tony, but I know
PJ Tucker. Yeah, he sent some
Cracker Barrel. Waffle House.
Cracker Barrel. They actually look really good. They're really good.
And then he had some like roller that there were dice on them. There were limited editions that he wore. And he sent him to Tony, the equipment manager for the Rockets, to say thanks. And he's a very classy guy. But you remember, I go back to that article late in the year when they were talking about certain guys, not just James, questioned when Chris was being critical of them because of the fact that his status had fallen in terms of his abilities. But I think Austin Rivers was one of those guys. I think Eric Gordon was one of those guys. But they were also three guys that were quick to point the finger at Harden when he was dribbling too much and hogging the ball.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very compelling matchup for TNT on Thursday night. But in the meantime, they got the Hawks tomorrow night, and Westbrook's going to rest. Boy, Harden should have another monster, but that game better be over by the end of the third quarter.
Better be.
Right?
Yep. I agree.
So there's your Rockets
Chris
update.
Davis wanted to know, if you were Miami, would you trade for CP3 or Drew Holiday?
I would trade for CP3.
Yeah.
Yeah, just everything he brings to the table. And because that with Riley and those guys in Miami, they want to win. They still want to win now.
Smaller window, but yeah.
Yeah, and the guys that they got, the three-point shooters, Hero and those guys, and some of the players they've added, it's a good young squad.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking news today, by the way, too. Anthony Davis, the Lakers went to him this morning and offered him a full max deal, and he turned it down and told them he intends on testing the waters of free agency. I'm not sure why, because no team can offer you more than the team that you're on. And because of his status in years past, you can still offer him a supermax deal, but they're going to offer him the most amount of money, and he still wants to test the waters. Where are you going? You got LeBron. You're in L.A. It's where you wanted the trade to be in the first place. I just, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because the way the NBA is structured, yeah, the team you're with can pay you more than any other team.
Yeah, he's probably going to lose, what, $40 or $50 million on a month.
Going out anywhere else.
Well, I just wonder if, and I asked this, and I don't know the answer, but if he signs a max deal, then he couldn't.
He can't do a super max
exactly.
If you want to.
So if you're L.A., it's smart because you're saying, well, if you sign this max deal, we'll give it to you now. Then they save the difference between that and the supermax, so it would make sense for them, save them a little money and a little cap space. It would cost him a little money, but he would get the deal now. And maybe that's why he said, nah, I'll just wait and see what I can get from a supermax perspective. Because he knows that he's not going to get more money somewhere else. But if he doesn't sign the deal, he has the opportunity to sign with them with the supermax deal for more money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a number of ways you can look at it. Maybe he does, you know, you do take that deal, and maybe the Lakers offer him to re-sign before the deal is up. You know, make sure you re-sign that guy. If he and LeBron prove to be a serious team, which I don't see how they're not going to be good for the near future. Like,
well, that's right? What I'm saying.
I don't see why he did that.
Just max out and take it for a couple years when LeBron moves out into the sunset. You wait and see what they're going to do. And the other thing that I think is crazy is, and Barry, you and I were talking about this earlier, but Kyle Kuzma on the trading block.
Yep.
You better get something as good or better in return. I understand that he and Anthony Davis kind of play the same position, but there's a guy that is a huge piece for them because of his versatility. He can shoot the three. I mean, he's gotten so good that he was on the Olympic team this summer in the camp. And so if you're going to trade him, you damn well better get a piece that can make you better this year. And I don't know what piece that is. They're talking to Sacramento, and you, the three of us were looking at the roster going, who on Sacramento makes them better than having him? There's no way. If Sacramento gives up De'Aaron Fox, they deserve to suck the rest of their freaking existence.
But
kid's that good?
The discussion was Bogdanovich.
Who's a good player, but I think just for now and for later on, doesn't have nearly the upside or the ability to help them like Kyle Kuzma does.
Yeah, I would agree. But, I mean, you know, what Kuzma's behind.
The big problem is
Anthony Davis.
Davis sucks up a lot of those minutes.
Yeah.
And because Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee are playing well at center, they're not going to rock the boat there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Bogdanovich, he's a shooting guard, right?
He's a three. Yeah, he's basically a 2-3.
So
three.
He gets Avery Bradley, Danny Green.
And Avery Bradley just sprained his ankle. Yeah. So I don't know how bad that is, but we'll see. All right, that's a little bit of your NBA update for the day, but plenty more to get to in the final hour of the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more of the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, doing a little research during the break. Even if the Lakers would trade Kuzma, Boogie Cousins, and Quinn Cook, that would total $8.5 million. They would be available to take back up to $13.5 million in a contract. That ain't going to even come close to half of Chris Paul, even without a hamstring. I mean, you're not getting him. So the fact of the matter is Chris Paul's price tag may prevent what he eventually has always wanted, which was OKC being the quick stop to get him to a contender. There's not many contenders that have enough salary cap room or trade assets to give up that can get them Chris Paul.
And again, an aging point guard, you're going to give up. You better be in win right now mode.
Which the Lakers certainly are.
Sure. But how much better are you? Unless you're just trying to get something for Kuzma. And
again, Kuzma's been sporadic on his shot because he's really been trying to become a stretch four three-point shooter.
Boy, he seemed like a can't-miss. The way that, I mean, you gushed over him. I mean, a lot of people, he seemed like a can't-miss. And now he seems like a guy that, because he's not getting the playing time, it's affected his stock. Not that he's not good. Not that he's not going to be a great player, but he's just not getting the reps to get better.
Well, not only like that, but because of the sporadic minutes, like you're talking about, he hasn't been consistent with that 3-point shot.
Yeah.
Now, if he's making that, there's a lot of teams that are a lot more interested. But you also, on the flip side, say of the teams that are quote unquote contenders, who would have the ability to not only trade for him financially, but would have a need for a point guard? Well, the Lakers, because it's Rondo and, like you said, the Avery Bradley, you would make that move.
Sure.
But if you're Portland, you could move some guys to do it, but you're not giving up Lillard or McCollum.
No.
So you don't really need a point guard. OKC would love to have Kyle Kuzma, because if you put Kuzma around Shai Gilchrist-Alexander and Dennis Schroeder and some of the young guys that they've stockpiled, and then all those picks coming up, you really got something. But Chris Paul's contract is so astronomical, there's no way that's in the ballpark. Miami is another team that would love a point guard. So that's why I said watch the Heat. But you got to come up with something going back the other way. And I'm pretty sure Udonis Haslam's contract's not going to get it.
The Rockets are going to win it all.
What are they going to do?
Huh?
They're going to make a trade to try and get just better?
That was my best John Granato. Oh. Rockets are going to win everything. He cracks me up the way he's such an over-the-top homer.
Yeah.
I'll be like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Rockets are going to win everything.
I mean, I mean, to me, like I said, the other guy that's going to be a big factor in deciding the championships, Iguodala. Now, Memphis is adamant on trading him. If you trade him, you got to come within 17.5 was his salary. So you got to come close to that. But if they can't find a trade partner or they trade him to a team that just cuts him, now the bidding war between him and Darren Collison will be two guys that don't cost you anything that could be huge.
Yeah, but I think part of what you have to look at when you talk about these deals and these is you look at Lakers, Nuggets, Rockets, Clippers. Some of these teams need to make moves, and some of them don't. I mean, the Lakers really don't need to do anything.
Clippers don't either.
Right. The Clippers don't need to do anything. The Nuggets could probably get some depth, could stand to add some depth, and the Rockets could too. Rockets could stand to get better. So, but then you have to be in a position to make those trades, and you have to have assets, or you have to be able to do that. So I just don't know if from a trade perspective, if these guys can do it. But like you said, if you could just sign – if you can, you know, in the buyout market, that's a whole different ballgame, and it opens it up to a lot more players
than
just Chris Paul getting moved.
Who left the league to become a Jehovah's Witness and focus more on his religion, has said he's coming back by midseason. So the Clippers and Lakers front runners there to get a guy for nothing.
Right. You don't have to give up anything.
Yep. And again, the Iguodala market's going to be huge to keep an eye on, because if some team's willing to trade enough assets to get within the ballpark to get to his $17.5 million salary, that's one thing. But if they can't find a trade partner, or there were rumors of certain teams that were going to trade for him and then cut him just to use the cap space that they would be getting in next year, then maybe, you know, again, if he signs with whoever he wants.
Well, I feel like that's just to tie it back to Houston, I feel like that's the one Rockets big thing, big hope, is that you have a chance to get him in the buyout market. Because
completely agree.
Otherwise, I'm not so sure that we talk about Daryl Morey being able to do something for this team, and he does it every year.
He's running out of assets.
Yeah, and opportunities, and not just assets on this team, but what can he go out and get for what he's got, right?
Like, think I mean, all what the are number the options? Ones, all the number ones he gave up in the Westbrook deal, right? So it's going to be hard to get draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to have salary to go get better players. Eric Gordon, because he signed late on the extension, is that guy. But he's also a key cog in your team right now.
Sure.
So just like if the Lakers trade Kuzma, you can trade Eric Gordon all you want. But if you don't get better in doing so, then why trade him?
No, I'm with you. It doesn't make sense. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Rockets actually end up doing anything like we expect them to do.
Right.
Because of the situation they're in and the lack of opportunity that exists for trades for them.
And I think on the last Rockets note, the no-brainer of all no-brainers is Ben McLemore's contract has to be guaranteed today if he stays on the roster. With what that guy's been able to do in a short period of time to be a contributing role player on the roster, he's got to stay.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
That happens at 5, right?
I believe so, yeah. And they're already in Atlanta. They got to Atlanta early today, so I'm sure that they basically have assured him he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Something
what
heavy just fell.
Really?
On the fourth floor.
Why? You felt it?
I heard it. It was loud.
Everybody check on Cody.
Oh, see.
What happened?
You're always so mean to him.
Well, maybe he dropped his book bag. Maybe he dropped his book bag. What are you talking about?
He's got his lunch in there?
Wow. See?
You started it, man. I can't help myself.
You can't blame Joel for tagging along. Don't you ever make a fat joke without Joel. Ever.
Yeah, he's all on that train. Anytime Joel gets to make a fat joke, he is in. Right,
sure
Joel?
Whatever fell wasn't a late hit?
Oh, my goodness. All the shots being fired.
Just get me started.
Can we tell the people the story about Jerome's brother?
Sure. Okay.
And you...
What happened?
Yeah, you can tell. I don't care.
I want you to tell it because I just thought it was hilarious.
Jerome Solomon, he came up to me. I believe it was
funny. This is to tell you about our show and what we do.
Jerome Solomon came up to me at one of the Texans games. I believe it was the last regular home season game. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I'm like, "Fantastic." He's like, "You know, my brother actually listens to the show and he loves The Usual Suspects." But he seriously came up to me and asked, "How fat is Nick?" And he was like, so dude, funny. Nick is really not that fat. And we've, you know, listener, I felt like we kind of blew that when I, at the first listener appreciation, yeah, that's right. When everybody learned that I really wasn't as big as, you know, the show makes me out to be. So apparently Jerome Solomon's brother is a big fan. He's a suspect. Shout out to Jerome's brother. I don't remember him telling me his name, but yeah, he really wanted to know if I was fat or not.
He is Jerome's brother. He's a fat ass. Don't let him fool you. He's got moves and everything. So he's shaped like, when I tell you Nick is shaped like a light bulb, that's a fact.
I'm just round.
Yeah. That's what he looks like. So
just round.
I just thought that was funny.
I thought that was funny too.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
All the myths that we have to crack when people finally see us and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Everybody thinks Joel's good looking and then they meet him and they're like, oh, nope.
Everybody thinks Barry's black and then they meet him and there you go.
I'm running out of steam. It's not going to last much longer that I can do my Stephen A. with this crackly voice.
It's a lot better, though, when people said you sounded like Stephen A. than when they said you sounded like Jemele Hill.
True. I'll take it.
You got a Jemele Hill you can do for us real quick? I don't even know unless you insult the president. I don't even know what you would do there.
I have no idea.
All right. We're going to continue to roll on. We've got a half hour to go in The Usual Suspects. That means 30 minutes on the clock when we return, and we will take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. It's all right here. ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final half hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go, wherever you may be, in this big city on a beautiful day in Houston. Yes,
don't give up on yourself. Be unstoppable.
What are you, Ben DeBose, talking about the Rockets?
The show must go on, or work. This is all on the Hall's cough drop.
Would you personalize them?
Pep talk. I know. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, the show must go on or work. It's both. Yeah. It's a show and it's work.
Does it say at the end, or get sent home? Then it really would be personalized.
Yeah, right?
You know your love of dipping sauce?
Uh-huh.
And how, you know, Cody tipped you off and you guys are dipping sauce connoisseurs when you get your nuggets?
Yes.
Not shockingly, I'm going to bring you a story right now about dipping sauce.
Oh, what? I'm so surprised you would bring up dipping sauce and then bring up a topic with an article about dipping sauce.
From Florida.
Oh, well, there you go.
The more stupid human things we get, the more we find out most of them come from Florida. January the 6th, lady by the name of McGuire McLaughlin, which you already know she was fed with a silver spoon with that name, 19. She gets to the McDonald's in Vero Beach, Florida at about 3:45 in the morning. She orders a large amount of food, and she paid for it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But she lives about 5 miles from the restaurant, and when she got to the window, she said, look, I want one of your dipping sauces in each flavor. The employee responded by saying that each packet's going to cost you 25 cents, at which point a verbal altercation ensued. She began yelling profanities at several employees, stating she would rob the establishment if she didn't get her dipping sauce.
Oh.
Then, the worker said to police later, she added that she would procure the dipping sauces by whatever means necessary. And the employee could not specify
any means necessary
what she meant. When police arrived, they detected alcohol on her breath. Shocker.
Okay.
Noted that the teens.
Now, was this a big gal?
She ain't that big, but I'll give you the picture.
Really?
She's 19. Doesn't look big. I mean, that is a headshot, but you can.
Kind of Britney Spears-ish.
No, don't do that.
But a little huskier. Is that fair?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I'm going to retweet fair at all. This. All right, then you tell me.
Nick's like, no, don't do that to Britney. Yeah, leave Britney alone.
Britney is hotter than that. That's not even.
Okay, I see the picture now. Yeah, this looks like my daddy will buy this McDonald's.
McGuire.
Right?
Her first name's McGuire. Yes.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
So she essentially raised hell. Cops came, smelled alcohol on her breath, then realized eyes were glossy, speech was slurred. The reports also say that the employees noted she would momentarily become cooperative, then would begin yelling profanities at them again. Several workers were distraught by her actions. One female said she was in fear of her own well-being.
Oh, God.
So, therefore, she was arrested, disorderly conduct, free on a $1,000 bond, scheduled for a January 28th arraignment.
But can we talk about the fact that they do get a little stingy with the dipping sauces?
Absolutely.
Oh, it's a problem.
I mean, look, McGillicuddy McLaughlin or whatever the hell her name was. I'm with you in the sense that, bitch, just give me some dipping sauces.
Yeah, people get angry about that.
Don't be so stingy. This McDonald's,
you.
The McDonald's
yeah,
by my house.
The number of ketchup sometimes, but not the dipping sauce.
But like, okay, they're like, oh, if you get a 10 count nugget, you get two sauces. If you get a 6 count nugget, you get one sauce. I'm like, if I want three sauces, just give me the sauces. What does it matter? I'm buying your nuggets.
And it's customer service. If you want the people to be return customers, take care of them.
This is why I like Chick-fil-A. You don't never have a problem with Chick-fil-A. You want 15 Chick-fil-A sauces? Here you go, sir. 15 Chick-fil-A sauces. That's why they're the best.
Trey used to always come and tell us
about
who
McDonald's
are the...
why McDonald's has to be so stingy. Man,
who are the stingy sauce people? All the different fast foods that he would go to. Who's stingy with sauce? And Nick, if you dip your French fries into ketchup, it's a dipping sauce.
I would disagree with that.
What ketchup is not a dipping sauce.
What is it?
Dipping sauce is like sweet and sour.
You're just getting a condiment?
Barbecue. Yeah, it's just a side. It's just a condiment on the side.
Isn't barbecue sauce a condiment?
That's true. But normally when they say dipping sauce, they're talking about chicken nuggets or something else, not fries. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Ranch, barbecue. It's all those ones that come in those little plastic containers. The ketchup packets is a whole different
depending
thing.
On where you go, the ketchup comes in a plastic container.
True. You go to like Raising Cane's, they got the nice
Whataburger.
Fancy.
Whataburger and Rex Prime.
But those are still just their packaging for the ketchup. It's just, to me, it's just ketchup.
Right.
Dipping sauces.
Or condiment.
They're
all called condiments.
But I think that
That's what I'm saying. Barbecue sauce is a dipping sauce, but it's also a condiment.
But I think that it costs more to manufacture those.
That I would
And
agree
that's
with.
Why they're stingier with them. But, bitch, I don't care. I just want it for my nuggets. I want to drown my nuggets in ranch.
Like we all know, Joel and my boy Matt Harab, they overdo the ketchup. Yep. My whole deal is I don't necessarily complain if I don't get a whole bunch of ketchup. But if I get the large combo, for example, you're not just giving me one ketchup.
One
right,
packet.
Right, right.
You get what I'm saying? Who does that?
Man, see, I ain't going to throw them under the bus.
No. Because
in my favorite spot, I ain't going to do them like
you
that.
You should.
But for years, I've grown up next to this place.
You basically Who? Said it.
Who?
This place.
Okay. And, what do they serve?
Ketchup.
McFood?
What would you be looking for?
Huh?
What would you be in the mood for?
It's one of your favorite spots, too. I just can't do them like that because that's like one of my favorite spots ever. But I will say this. For years, and I've been literally going up to this location since I was 10 years old, like on a bike.
What a crock.
And they just started being stingy about it.
Really?
Yeah, just started.
See?
I don't like that. I don't like
what
that.
What a stingy sauce plate.
Now, Joel would want a large combo and then demand 15, acting like he wants one dipping packet for each fry.
I need a container that holds the fries holding the ketchup.
Now, this, see, because I was going to say, well, your experience, Nick, must be different because every one
fantastic
of those.
Spot,
yeah.
Burger
every
spot
one
like
that I go to with the orange, they just let you pick. They just bring that tray out. They're like, how many
guys? Oh, well,
that's when you're in the restaurant.
No, exactly. To their defense, they only do that to me on the drive-thru. They never do that to me when I walk in.
Yes.
Never.
I believe Trey said the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, they only do that on the drive-thru. And I'll be honest with you. Well, I'm not going to do them like that either.
No.
But I'm just saying, a lot of people will do it on the drive-thru, but when you go in, they're never stingy about it.
That's because they're scared to your face-to-face.
No, the other thing is they think you won't use them.
What are you going to do through the window? Like, what's up? I can just close the door.
Climb through. I'll pull around.
Let's be honest. If they're in the restaurant, you get a certain amount of them. If you don't use them, you're either going to leave them there, you might even put them back. But if you're in the drive-thru, you get them, now they're gone. They're never coming back.
No, exactly. They go in the fridge.
Right, but to the place.
Who doesn't save their extra ketchups and puts them in the fridge for later, and then you never use them?
I haven't bought a bottle of ketchup in about 15 years.
But we still, we have. We go. I buy the Whataburger spicy ketchup.
I'm lying, obviously, but
from HEB, and then I save all of the ketchups that I get from all these places, and we never use them. And
I was going to say, please don't tell me you squeeze them into the bottle.
No, but here's also, can we just, since we're on this topic, Nora is a weirdo. My wife is the weirdest person I know. She can't use. And maybe this is more common, but I don't know. But my wife will not use Taco Bell hot sauce on Jack in the Box tacos. And she won't use Jack in the Box hot sauce on Taco Bell tacos.
What?
You can only put Jack in the Box hot sauce on Jack in the Box tacos. You can only put Taco Bell hot sauce on Taco Bell tacos. It makes no... I'm like, it's hot sauce.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
What the hell does that mean?
I'm totally on her side.
Why?
That's the way... That's like... Do you mix ketchup? Will you eat McDonald's?
Oh, I would.
Will you
I
eat...
won't.
I would.
Okay, no. Let me finish.
You know I've
Let
only
me
got
finish.
One brand.
Will you eat McDonald's French fries with Whataburger ketchup?
Absolutely.
You would.
But sauce is different.
Doesn't it taste weird, though?
No.
Isn't there a little where you're like, it's kind of weird?
Perhaps because I'm not as picky about my ketchup as, let's say, Joel or my boy Matt.
Yeah, now Joel will only eat
Heinz.
So only I guess ketchup. That makes me a bit of a hypocrite because I totally would mix and match the ketchup. But the sauces, I feel like that complimented that particular taco at Taco Bell. Maybe she's always used to the fire sauce on the soft taco. Maybe that's what she does. Maybe
I don't
that's
know. How she it just seems kind of weird to me. But I do kind of get it. It's a different feeling. Like, even with the ranches, like, if you have like a Chick-fil-A ranch and then you have like a McDonald's ranch and you dip a nugget, it just seems kind of weird. But I still, like, it doesn't bother me. But my wife's like, absolutely not. If I go get Taco Bell and I bring it home and I don't bring home hot sauce and I'm like, well, babe, we have Jack in the Box.
Right.
She's like, nope. No, I'll just do without it. I'm like, you're a weirdo.
So you put her in a bad mood when you
Yeah, that is different, though.
It's so strange. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but she's definitely...
You don't mix
the hot sauces. I don't know if it's a Mexican thing. And she's her Mexican taste buds have certain ways for certain tacos. And maybe that's a white people thing with the ketchup. I don't know, but that's just weird to me.
The only thing close is that we recently had Chewy's takeout and we had Loopy Tortillas.
Okay.
And I'll say this.
Like both?
We save the leftover salsa. Well, I'll say this. The Loopy's salsa is so much better than the Chewy's original salsa.
Okay.
That I was like, can you get the Loopy's salsa out of the fridge? I can't eat the Chewy's. She's like, what are you talking about? It's real. I go, I can't do it. For me, I just didn't think it had the same taste and it didn't taste as good, the Loopy's salsa. But the taco sauce is totally more generically easy to just.
But she will not. Like it. You might as well, I don't know, it's oil and water to her. Like it's like a sin to have Taco Bell hot sauce on a Jack in the Box taco. She just thinks you're a monster if you did that.
That is
like, that is the weirdest thing, babe.
Sounds like some personal problems.
Yeah, she's like, oh, no. Like, okay, well, I guess your ass is going without hot sauce because I ain't going back.
You've done this quite a bit. It's not just once that this has happened.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
That's why you get yelled at about it.
Yeah, this is why now I keep a stash. Like, when I go, I'm like, let me get, 20 hot sauces from Taco Bell. And then I just put, I don't even tell her. I put 10 out for her. I put 10 in the fridge. Next time I'm at Jack in the Box, I'm like, let me get 20 hot sauces, 10 out, 10 in the fridge. That way, if I forget one time, I got both. She's covered.
Your ass is covered.
Yeah. It's the stupidest thing ever. I don't understand.
I will say it's the first time I've ever heard something like that.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, she's weird. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but
she can't be the only one. I feel like people who like the Taco Bell like the Taco Bell. A certain way.
I do feel like it's weird, like when you cross-pollinate the ketchup and the ranches, but I still do it. It's not like, oh, it's going to stop me. Like, if I eat a Pizza Hut pizza and I've got a Papa John's cheese sauce
pizza
thing,
sauce or garlic sauce or whatever.
Yeah, okay. It's no big deal. It's crust. Who cares?
And if you like the sauce, it can enhance if it's a different brand of pizza.
That's right.
There you go. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We're going to put a bow on it next. Take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. Fred, Aaron, AJ, they're on deck and ready to go right here on ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, final segment of the big show. Turn it over to the Blitz at 4. They take you till 7.
Several people chiming in on the text line, confirming that they do not cross-pollinate taco sauces between tacos.
Really? So there's people on board with it?
Yeah. Apparently,
so maybe apparently my wife is weird. I don't know.
Apparently my wife isn't as weird as I think.
Oh, they're saying that they do. I thought you said that they don't.
No, they're saying that, no, you can't. A Taco Bell sauce only for tacos. Taco Bell tacos. Jack in the Box sauce only for Jack in the Box tacos. And people are like, and I'm white, because I was like, oh, this is a Mexican thing. They're like, nope, I'm white. You don't do that. Demetrius said, all the damn McDonald's hoard their sauces, and their mama is a hoe for taking out orange high C. Was that?
I don't care if you call it high C or not, but as a kid, that orange drink was all world.
From McDonald's?
Yep.
Is it that good?
It was good.
You got to call their mama hoe?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd go that far.
it might have been that good. It
for taking out the good. High C drink. I was never a big high C orange.
I enjoyed it.
Sun-kissed.
I did too. Sun-kissed really? Is different. High C's not carbonated.
Oh, it's not?
No.
That's not why I enjoyed it as a kid. You know what? This high C is not carbonated,
Joel. I'm not saying that's why you did, Nick. I'm saying the difference is he's roping them all into the same category.
But this was
high C would
guy.
Be more like a juice, and Sunkist is a soda. It's carbonated. Okay. That's all. Because
I know your big ass wasn't worried about whether or not it was carbonated when you were
back
a kid.
In the day. Are you kidding me, too? No, not at all. Completely admit that. Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's three less calories.
Mom, I'm a little
no
worried about the sugar content. I think we're going to have to go to just water.
No one cared.
Nope.
And somebody else wanted to know, have y'all talked about the Australian broad? Which, come on, sir. It's 2020. Stop calling females broads.
Yeah.
Have y'all talked about the Australian woman who will send you a nude if you donate $10 to fight the Australian bushfire? Now, real quick... Is it a bush fire or a brush fire? Or are you just confusing what the nude is? Because I don't know if... I feel like it should have been a brush fire and not a bush fire.
I think you're right.
But I digress. She claims to have raised 70 grand. Now, you said at the break when I brought this up that she's a porn star.
It came up on the internet last night. It's on Twitter.
Bet it did.
And people said, essentially... Well, what's the difference between her sending you a nude and the fact that she's an ex-porn star and you can find her nudes all over the internet?
Yeah, I'm not paying for it if it's out there for free. Now, obviously, I want to fight this bush fire, but look, if I can get your picture for free, who is it, by the way? Do we know her name?
I'm sure you can Google it.
Okay, what am I looking for?
Say it's like your
female
girl.
Nude Australian bush fire. I swear, if I get some redheaded porn stuff... popping up on my Instagram model. Raises $700,000. This is on The Guardian. Do we trust The Guardian as a source?
Yeah, they've been around for a while. It's not like it's...
Naked philanthropist. Easy for me to say.
What?
Kaylin Ward inspires other sex workers to offer photos in exchange for donations to bushfire relief. It's called bushfire on The Guardian. I mean, first of all, I don't need to see her bushfire.
You're not
a fan.
No.
No, she can keep it. Look, I can just Google naked Instagram models. This is not difficult. you want to do something special, maybe custom video or something, but just a nude? No. Yeah, I'm out on that.
Now, if your girl Roxy put something out there.
Who?
If your girl Roxy put something out there.
Oh, she I would pay for that.
See, there you go. Well,
because there ain't no nude to her out there.
Yeah, and it would say, to Barry on the note, and it's all over.
She's a bad boy.
You okay there, bro?
Nah, I'm gonna need a moment. Okay. But apparently now other people are stepping up. Why don't we do that, guys? Let's do nudes. Y'all want to do nudes? And then we'll
because then Nick's piercings will be exposed.
I would never do nudes.
If you donate $10, you'll get a picture of Nick's Prince Albert. Don't do it. The weird thing is he'll send you a picture of when his tongue ring got locked into his.
Jeez. And that's the way you found out that he was
damn near broke his flexible. Back. Damn near broke his back.
He was double jointed.
We didn't know you did yoga. Downward facing dumbass.
Francisco says, we live up to the reputation. Francisco says, thanks for letting the rest of the parent pickup line know about the Australian bushfires.
That's my bad.
I thought we did a favor today and kept that kind of topic for the 2 o'clock hour, but no, we finished strong.
That's my bad. Hey, you know what? We do what we can. People were saying, well, it's good to have everybody, we want to hear you guys destroy the pickup line now that school's back in session. So there you go. We lived up to our reputation.
Text line says in Australia they call it bush, not brush. I think that's the shrubs in the fire.
Got it.
By the way.
Got it. Just to be clear.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, okay.
Not talking about anatomy. Just talking about shrubbery.
Okay. Just making sure.
There's a difference.
There you go.
So there you have it. Yeah. I was thinking you were going to go more along the lines of your girl in Vegas. Because she's
my girl in Vegas.
The redhead. Little.
Oh, Alice Little. Nah, you can.
I'm not. She ain't special
you,
either.
You can get. Yeah. There. It would have to be for me. It would have to be like if Selma Hayek. Just to circle back to yesterday as a callback. If Selma Hayek was like, if you donate $10, I'll send you a nude. Done. Full nude though. Can't be just the breasts because I think we've seen those before.
Have we?
Got to be full nude. Yeah. Wasn't she
years ago? She
topless
and
I
think even Spanish movies, too.
Yeah.
I think she's had an upgrade since then.
Oh, she's definitely had an upgrade.
I'm sure she's tuning them up.
But you know what I'm saying? Somebody that you haven't seen nude, if they're offering to send out nudes for $10 to donate to a bushfire, I'm in. But if I've already seen the goods or it's freely available on the internet because you work in porn.
She doesn't put nudes on the internet, does she?
No, but I wouldn't imagine. I mean, for me, it's just not. I'm not. I don't think she's hot enough to spend $10 on.
She's listening right now. She'll never join the show. That's she's fine. A friend of the show, and you just...
I mean, I'm just... Look,
called
I'm
her
just,
ugly.
Believe me, no. If you say she's got a five-minute opportunity to promote something, she's back.
Oh, she's back she'll in be, a heartbeat. She's back in a heartbeat.
Trust me, she'll be okay.
Yeah,
she'll
live. She'll be fine.
Just because it's not... But I'm just not into redheads. That's my thing. It's not that I don't think she's not attractive. Twitch
saw
that.
Pause.
I'm just not into redheads.
Okay.
It's weird.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, the whole country of Ireland is out.
Here we go.
Just every Scottish chick, every Irish chick just out.
There's no label there.
Is it true, by the way? And I don't know this. I'm throwing this out.
Is that why you don't eat at Wendy's?
Yeah. That's why I don't eat at Wendy's.
Right.
Plus, there's the whole rumor that, redheads are inbred.
Wait a minute.
Whoa. Where are you getting your information, sir?
You've never heard that?
Source your information,
sir. It's one thing to talk about a Tootsie Pop rapper. It's another never thing heard to make that. A statement like that.
You've never heard that redheads were inbred. That's a thing I heard.
Okay.
I didn't just make that up.
That was a rumor that was spread around in elementary school.
Go get Jake Hasman in here right now.
Sorry, Jake. That's why his eyes are all wonky like that.
This is our last segment.
He's 24 and balding. He won't even have red hair left.
See,
so
that's inbreeding.
Good.
24 and balding, that's definitely
inbreeding.
Tell that inbreeding.
To his last date.
Wow. See? I had always heard that. Now, that might just have been, rumor. But I swear somebody, I remember hearing that several
that's
times.
A different
that,
kind
we're not
of
questioning
fire
whether
you just
or not
started.
You heard that.
So you believe me? That
I don't believe you. I know you've heard that.
I don't know.
Let me see. I just Googled redheaded inbreeding. Oh, this might be a good thing to do.
By the way, I have a suggestion for Way Back Wednesday. It should be songs about snitches.
Oh, you're passionate about this.
Yeah, you're big.
Should be.
Let's do it.
I think you guys should.
Songs
I
would about do, telling, I would do, snitching, tattling.
Yeah. I would do all song, like all Tekashi 6ix9ine songs, but obviously his songs are not old enough. Or I can do all Boston songs because they're definitely snitches over there.
New York.
True.
But okay. I think we should, and I Googled it, and I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can just do my list for me.
I won't do that.
Why not?
The only problem is in the hip hop industry, a snitch is usually, a lot of times, is referred to as a bitch N-bomb. And that might cause some problems. In terms of playing it over the air.
The producer will catch it.
Stop it.
You can just go with it.
Yeah, that could be an issue.
But you also like country music. So there's a lot of country music that whines about everything. They whine about everything. There's got to be something about tattling. Well, maybe not snitching, but tattling.
That's true. Well, I guess Coward of the County, would that be it? No?
You love you some Kenny Rogers.
I do love me some Kenny Rogers. By the way, people are like, oh, poor Trey.
We forgot about it.
We didn't even think
everything
about it.
Look what you started.
I'm not saying
Jake and Trey are going to puncture all the tires on your car.
They would have to combine their brain power, and it's the whole inbreeding thing. Doesn't allow it to happen, bro. But I just don't even know if that's true or not.
Save your broadcast partner right now.
I just remember hearing that.
Part of me says I need to wrap this up. Part of me says he may go too far. I might just let him go.
I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying I heard that. I didn't say it's a fact. I'm just saying I had heard, and that's why I don't like redheads.
As Trey's dad, wouldn't you know?
I hate you.
And on that note, a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects is in the books. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. It's Fred, AJ, and Aaron. It's The Blitz. They're coming up next. ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.